Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th, with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Dynamite! Hey, everybody. Paul Jeff back here on the Dynamite Show after a much-deserved week off. Jeff won millions at the World Series of Poker.
No, but I had a lot of fun. I really did. I came close to the money in my first live Pot Limit Omaha event, which was nice. And then I played like ass in the seniors No Limit Hold'em event. But it felt good. That was the weird thing, even though I probably shouldn't have ever wasted that money, but it felt good, and you know, it was a learning experience too.
You got to do it at least once.
I wanted to do at least one World Series of Poker event before I died, and I did. So, and I did two of them, so I'm good. And my dad really wanted me to try one of those days too, cuz it's like I had been winning all these free rolls in Pot Limit Omaha, and it's like, well, you're pretty good at this. Why don't you go see how you stack up? So, yeah. It was cool.
I did one in, I don't know, 2012. It was, I didn't do great. I lasted about 5 hours, but it was fun.
5 hours is pretty good.
Yeah. I had won money the night before, so I was basically free rolling. It was like a $230 tournament, and I won $5,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I took the $5,000 and I bought in for like, you know, a decent level. Like yours were like 1500 and 1000, right? Which, I mean, that's a lot of money.
No, mine were both 1000.
Both 1000. Okay, so yeah. Back then,
it's still real money. I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong.
But that's for the World Series. That's like the basically entry level.
I wasn't using money that I couldn't lose. I was using my craps bankroll. So
good. No, that's good. And me, as a lot of you know, and this was kind of, in a way, it was nice. I you know, Emily, my daughter, had her surgery last Monday, and we were in the hospital all week. My wife and I kind of switching back and forth, you know, one of us in the day, one of us at night. And but the outpouring of support that we got from the wrestling community was something else.
Yeah, I saw a lot of big names.
I read like every single message to her that we got before surgery. I didn't get to all of them after, because it was probably about 2 days before like she really even knew what was going on. And by then I had so many, but I probably read her 1,000, and every video we got, I played for her before. There's a couple that we didn't play till after. A couple of people bought cameos for her, which was incredible. One of them was Danhausen. I mean, you know how much he charges for a cameo, and somebody paid for that. Like,
how much does Danhausen charge for a cameo?
A lot. I don't know.
No, for Danhausen?
I'm almost positive it's like a couple hundred bucks.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. But then we got some nice videos. Dijak sent one.
Nice.
You're just unsolicited. I got some really nice messages from some real famous people that I don't want to... like, one of them would blow his cover if I said it. Like, you know.
Right.
And we got a video just today from... you know, a longtime star in one of the two major companies, and this person just wanted, and it's not Becky, and she just wanted, you know, she'd been thinking about Emily, and she wanted to send, oh, I said she now, okay. So she wanted to send thoughts and prayers, and she's even sending her some presents, and it was really nice.
No, that's great. Yeah. I also want to give a shout out to Kevin and Jeremy. I thought they did a great job last week.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a very good show, and they deserved a lot more chatter in the Discord. GG at fightgamemedia.com. Join the channel. Join the conversation.
So he was 80 before AEW, so he probably triple that, you know, with AEW, I think. I listened to it, I think, on the weekend. By then, I'd kind of forgotten about the show, but so it was kind of nice to be reminded of it. Last week was a pretty good show that nobody watched.
Yeah. Look, everybody has their thinking. Is it okay if I say I don't know why the number was so low?
I think it's easy to chalk it up to the lead-in. I mean,
well, no. See, to me, it's like, I mean, everybody's saying the Kendrick Lamar concert. Yeah. It was a holiday, so maybe people were traveling. I don't know, but
is it possible? So it's a holiday, so for a lot of people, it's a Friday.
Maybe people have just decided they don't like AEW anymore.
Well, there's that. You know, and that's entirely possible. Because I will tell you something. I'm not feeling this card on Sunday.
No, okay, good. Let's start here. Okay. Let's start. Do I want to start with Will and Swerve, or do I want to start in general with this show? You decide, Paul. Which way should I go on this?
Let's not do Will Swerve just yet. So
it's okay. Well, it's 3 weeks of Will and Swerve, though.
Okay.
It's the entire build of this. Okay. So in week one, we had cocky Will Ospreay playing basically Maverick from Top Gun. You know, he's the guy with the gold. Oh, look, I can hold these two belts. Look how great I am here. La, 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 la. And Swerve is the one trying to maintain friendship. You're lucky we're still friends, et cetera, et cetera. Week two, we get angry Will Ospreay. Yep. And we get home invader staring at your children, Swerve.
Yeah.
Making it quote unquote personal.
Yep.
I
didn't pick up the connection to the hangar baby. Credit Jeremy Feinstein on that one, but that was a good call.
Well, not just that. Well, here's the one I had forgotten. I had forgotten it was on Juneteenth, and they had put a lot of the marketing around Swerve on this. And then he comes out and he does that promo.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Neither did I. It was my co-host Chris Novembrino and Shake Them Ropes who brought that up.
What did you think about the rappers getting cut off on Juneteenth?
But anyways,
Kendrick Lamar's doing a concert.
Yeah, in a bubble or in a vacuum, I liked the promo, but then I realized, oh, this doesn't make sense given what they did last week. And then this week, we have them in a tag match after we made it personal.
Yeah,
and we're kind of we're letting bygones be bygones, and this feud has made no sense. Is what I'm trying to tell you.
And meanwhile, Will is feuding with Swerve. He's feuding with, I think he's feuding with MJF. He's kind of half ass feuding with Daniel Garcia.
All right,
except
pause. What is the point of this show tonight?
To build for Forbidden Door.
Yes. Yeah. To get people to spend their hard-earned inflated ducats to buy your pay-per-view.
Yep.
And we're building for the free TV next week.
And Wembley.
And Wembley. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because we'll get into it when we get into this segment, but what? No. I know that they've been critical of Tony for not plugging next week's show. This is not the week to plug next week's show. This is the week to plug your pay-per-view on Sunday so that people spend money to watch your pay-per-view. And instead, I get these backbenchers from New Japan all showing up all at once.
To be fair, they did do a lot of build for Sunday. I just didn't think it was very good.
Okay, but on your opening segment, it's for next week's free TV. No! Yeah.
And no. Will Ospreay is basically just telling you, you know what, don't even bother watching Sunday because I'm winning and I'll just be defending the world title next week.
They did 3.5 hours worth of Big Bang Theory to lead into this show, so it should be okay. That's what I was told.
Well, I wonder how many people are watching by the 7th episode of Sheldon.
Boy, I hope Sheldon says something wacky. Okay. Yeah. I've never liked Big Bang Theory. So.
I love that show. I'm one of the people that watch. I don't watch the repeats. I just watched it when it was live.
I'll tell you a story later.
But I kind of agree. You know, I, like I said, I watched the show. It was interesting watching the show last week because I watched it live in the hospital and I was going back and forth. Like when a commercial would come, I'd flip over to baseball and then I'd go back and I didn't miss any of the show. But it's harder to pay attention when you're watching like that. When you're in a hospital room, the volume's a little bit lower. So, you know, when, and it's a small screen. So when the graphics are on there, like when they put those graphics up, like I couldn't read anything. Like when they're plugging matches and if they don't say what they are, like, and I would bet a lot of people are watching on TVs like that.
You think a lot of people are watching on hospital televisions?
But I don't think everyone's watching on a 60-inch screen with high def. So I think there's a lot of people watching on 28-inch screens.
And
when they just put the graphic up and they don't say anything, I don't think a lot of people aren't really watching. They're like on their phones and, you know, looking up and, you know, like.
The main headline is this Forbidden Door, which has universally kind of, I mean, look, it is quote unquote for the sickos and has always been kind of a supercard type of feel. Doesn't feel like a supercard. In some ways,
it just feels like AEW pay-per-view with guest stars from New Japan.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, okay, here's another one. They made a big deal for months about how this year it's going to be not just New Japan. It's going to be CMLL and it's going to be Stardom being on Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
We've got for CMLL, we have Hechicero,
mm-hmm.
who is on the show all the time. He's in a faction in AEW. And we have Stephanie Vaquer, who is basically, she's the New Japan champion. So she could have been on the show anyways. And from Stardom, we have Mina Shirakawa, who has more TV time than anybody on the show, not named Toni Storm or Mariah May. She's been on every week almost for the last 3 months. So this is what we've been hyping. And meanwhile, we can't have Roosh on the show. I don't think we can have Penta and Phoenix on the show. You know, there's other people that can't be on the show because we have to have Hechicero and Stephanie Vaquer and who's the other one? Mina Shirakawa, I get. Okay. Like that one, that's a big deal. But, I don't know, man. And I would say almost all the build they did for Sunday made me less interested in the matches that are happening with one exception that we'll get to. That's going to surprise you.
Okay.
But I'm still not sure I'm getting the show. I'm really on the fence right now. I'm so backed up with wrestling. It's more about a time thing than it's not like, I'm not saying it's not worth the $50. The shows are always great. I just may not have time to watch it. And if I don't have time to watch it, why pay for it? You know what I mean? Like I may watch it like 2 weeks later and by then, you know, they're going to have moved on to 10 other angles. So it's going to be irrelevant. And why pay $50 for that?
Well, it's Beach Break next week. So, you know, you get a pay-per-view on TV.
Did they forget about Beach Break? Because usually Beach Break is in February.
I think they're combining Beach Break and Shark Week.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
But I think it's usually called something else. Like, don't they have, like, Fighter Fest and...
Fight for the Fallen, Fighter Fest.
Yeah, those are all coming soon. But, yeah, next week is Beach Break, presented by Shark Discovery... Shark Week on Discovery.
We have corporate synergy that we need to get through there. So that's why we can't plug our pay-per-view. Okay.
Yeah. So we had that. And then, just in general, like I said, I mean, this pay-per-view, I don't know, the product, going back to that rating last week, like, a lot of it's got to be the product, right? Like, I guess we'll find out this week. You know, if they get the great lead in, but there is the one thing. Okay. So, you know, say it's not just the fact that they got a terrible lead in, because by the end of that show, I think they were down to 423,000 watching the main event between Pac and Claudio Castagnoli. And right there, we had Antonio Cesaro and Adrian Neville in a main event on cable TV in 2024 and 423,000 people watched.
I am going to be fascinated by the quarters for that Zack Sabre Jr. Kyle O'Reilly match.
That was a great match. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I could see everybody going, I don't want to watch grapple effing.
Fair enough. And then what about the main event? Gates of Agony?
Yeah, it's like, okay. That's like a
Rampage opener. You know, like, I'm sorry. Like
When I turn off a go-home show... For a pay-per-view, I should be excited to see, you know, four of the matches that are on the show, and I don't know if I am, but it's one of those things where it's like you're getting good wrestling, and that's great for the 35-year-old wrestling fan. It really is. I'm not going to deny that there's a group of wrestling fans, the type of people who go to site that I work for, Voices of Wrestling, and other sites like that that do such things. I don't want to say you need to book for the kids, because I don't want that. It's just not something that you're going to run off and tell your friends that you watched last night. Yeah, what so-and-so said? Did you see what so-and-so did?
Did you hear Orange Cassidy on commentary? Like, oh my God. I don't know, man. Another thing is
the shades of the Ironic Wrestling Show were all over this show, by the way.
Yeah. The other thing before we get into the show, I took a little break from our Discord just because, you know, I have my reasons.
All of which you told me, but yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of tuned out of what's going on. So I watched the shows. I didn't watch Rampage or Collision. I watched last week's Rampage and Collision. So the last Dynamite I watched chronologically, or the last AEW I watched chronologically, was last week's Dynamite.
Okay.
I didn't know anything that was going to happen on the show other than what they announced last week. Right. So I knew about the Swerve and Ospreay against Gates of Agony. I knew about Jay White and Phoenix, and I knew about the six-woman tag match. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about anything else. I assumed Daniel Garcia would be on the show because they're in Buffalo. I thought he'd be wrestling. Guess they didn't feel like he needed to wrestle this week. I didn't know that Hiromu Takahashi was going to be on the show. I was pleasantly surprised when he just showed up, you know, and I've known no news. So like when I listen to the podcast, like if I listen to Brian and Dave or stuff on Viking Media, like I'm hearing news for the first time that I haven't heard.
All right.
So, you know, and that's the same for WWE as well. So it's kind of refreshing to just watch like that and not like know things.
But here's the other thing, but it came through in your statement. If you're not one of those people, and Tony now says that that's all he books for, those people.
Yep.
The sound of you being lost was right there.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in the show. But I mean, lost, and it's not even necessarily a complaint. Like, when I see Hiromu show up unannounced, like, what do I care? Like, you know, I didn't, it doesn't hurt me. And I don't think Hiromu's drawing any viewers anyway, so I don't
know. No, but he seems to be, you know, I mean...
But it's a big deal.
That could be a big deal. Yes, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think Naito was originally supposed to be in this six man tag, and he put the kibosh on it.
It doesn't work for me, brother.
There was a lot going on in this show, let's get to it.
All right. So we get the cold open again this week. I don't remember what last week was, but this seems to happen more often than not these days, and it's MJF. And before he can get going, he's interrupted by, of all people, Daniel Garcia. Of course, they're here in Buffalo. And crowd's really into him. They're chanting, Danny, Danny. And then MJF says, glad these people like you, but tread lightly. And so Garcia says, I want to thank you for saving me next week. He said that. I had to rewind to make sure I heard that. I think he meant last week, either that, or he's getting attacked in his match with Ospreay and MJF's going to save him next week. I'm not sure, but
I'm just happy they have a plan for next week, finally. Yeah, that's good.
He says, since we're in Buffalo, New York, everything here is my business. And I'm going to say some nice things about MJF. And MJF says, go on. And he says, 9 months ago, I wasn't doing much, but I was watching you from the back. You're the youngest champion in history, main eventing around the country and making history. This gets some MJF chance. You came up to me and back, and you lit a fire under me. You saw me being more than a lackey, more than a background character, a pillar of AEW. You talked to Tony Khan and said, if I got enough wins, I could challenge you for your world title. I think he got one squash win, and then he challenged for the title. Okay, I'm just making sure I remember that right. He says, when I did challenge you, it was one of the most embarrassing moments of my entire life, but it wasn't all bad. That loss motivated me. That loss led me to going on the run of a lifetime, which I believe after the MJF match is when he went 1-6 in the Cruiserweight or in the Continental Classic. So that was the run of a lifetime.
Yeah, but he did get that one win
over Brody King, who he'd already beaten.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm someone these people can respect and believe in. Now I'm contemplating, why settle for being a pillar when I can be the backbone, the very foundation that AEW is built on? I think that's what a pillar is. But anyways, MJF is smiling, fans are chanting Danny, and he says, Max, for that, I want to thank you. But I want to let you know, after I said all that, if you talk shit right now, you're going to look really two-faced and you're going to have this whole city of Buffalo coming after you. It was a 6 out of 10 promo from young Daniel here. Not bad. Not great. Probably better than I would have expected from him.
For a Daniel Garcia promo, it was fine. It just made no
sense. Daniel Garcia curve, it was 10.
It made no sense, but okay.
No sense at all. But, you know,
I've been on the run of a lifetime. Really?
Yeah. He had the crowd. The crowd believed every word he said. That's all that matters, right? Just ignore what you see on TV.
Trust me. We're not even at the part where I'm angry yet. So let's keep going.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow. I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Oh, hey, I've got to ask some. Everyone on the weekend was talking about this Jeff Jarrett promo.
Uh-huh.
Right? I haven't seen it yet because I didn't watch Collision and I don't watch stuff on social media. When is that match? Who's he facing?
He's facing the wild card.
Yes, he's facing the wild card, but we don't know when. We don't know who it is.
In the Owen.
Yeah.
Whenever the Owen is.
Well, the Owen is tonight. It was they had a match tonight.
Well, yeah, so yeah. It'll be on eventually.
The finals are in 2 weeks.
I'm guessing it's a match that will happen probably at Beach Blast then.
Yeah, so then and then the finals are the following week.
I don't know.
Okay.
Paul?
Yeah, and
Stop it, Dad. I don't know.
Because here's the thing. Jarrett promo was supposed to make you forget everything you've seen for the last 2 years because Jeff Jarrett's now a babyface. And this is Daniel Garcia. Forget everything you've seen.
Yes.
I've been winning all my matches.
We do this a lot in AEW.
Don't go to cage match. Don't go to cage match.
That's just a character I play on television. This is the real me.
So,
et cetera, et cetera.
Is on next week's Dynamite. So then the winner is going to face, I assume it'll be on Collision then. That following week.
My favorite part were the people going, why is Jeff Jarrett in the Owen? I just went, people just need to stop that crap.
But he can't win. Come on. If it wasn't for a world title shot, I'd say give him the win. Give him the Owen, let him run around.
Interesting week for somebody I always wanted as a surprise entry in Too Cold Scorpio, but nevertheless, let's keep going.
So MJF says, first of all, MJF two-faced? Come on. And he says, I didn't come to talk trash. I came here to shamelessly shill Forbidden Door. I'm going to wrestle a guy who looks like a poorly dressed comic book character.
And then he blew the date.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't write it down because I don't really care. And then he plugged Memphis on July 6th as well. MJF's return to Collision. It's funny. When they aired, I just watched the anniversary special. They aired like highlights of the year of Collision. You'd think MJF was on every week. But by those highlights, because he was in like half the highlights, and I think he was on the show like 3 times.
Yes.
But anyways, reason number 2. Before I was so rudely interrupted, I was going to ask you to come out here, Danny, because I got a question for you. After everything that just came out of your mouth, I got one thing to say to you. And he says, "Thank you." Shook his hands. He says, "No one has ever talked about the nice things I do behind the scenes here in AEW, including me. I'm rich and handsome, and some people are jealous." All of them think they deserve my spot, but none of them are talented enough to beat me and take it. I know one guy that's getting closer, so let's get this straight. I didn't give you a title shot out of pity or because you're a second or third generation superstar because you made your name somewhere else. unlike everyone else, you earned it. I wrote down, no, he didn't. And he says, Danny.
Also, he doesn't give title shots. Tony Khan does, but okay.
No, I think in this case he did.
Okay.
But Danny, he gave Adam Cole a title shot last year too. Danny, you remind me a whole lot of me. Two undersized kids, tough, cocky, arrogant, and talented from New York. Buffalo isn't really New York. Every morning, we got to look in the mirror and say, it's not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's about the size of the fight in the dog. And these two New York pit bulls got a whole lot of bark and a whole lot of bite. Full transparency, when I gave you that shot, I whipped your scrawny little ass without breaking a goddamn sweat. And they bleeped that out. However, since then, you've grown exponentially. You're stronger, faster, smarter. Yeah, maybe one of those.
He dances. That's all he's done. But continue.
You've ascended the ladder here in AEW by busting your ass. You didn't run from the grind. You are the grind. I think that was a shot at Will Ospreay.
Possibly.
Maybe it's time for you to get one more shot at the king, but not just any shot. I was waiting for like a Kevin Nash reference here. But
I was waiting for the my shot, yeah.
But he says, here's what I'm thinking, Danny. Folks at home and in the arena, let me know how you feel about it. Daniel Garcia versus MJF at Wembley Stadium for all in. And I wrote down, what? And what do you say, Danny? And there's no way that they're doing MJF and Daniel Garcia at Wembley. Right?
No, and that's part of the problem with this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, these promos, these first two, because we're going to get to Will in a moment. We're breaking the fourth wall. We're lottie-dottying it. They're not that serious, and that's why people are tuning out, I think. I think people are just like, this isn't serious wrestling. These are people on TV goofing off. And this is what this felt like.
MJF is not feeling anything, I don't think, right now.
He got paid. He got paid.
Yeah.
Got paid. For everybody who complained about Nakamura's just there to surf. We have Okada there to say bitch. I'm watching this, I'm going, nobody believes this. Nobody believes any of this. We have not been shown that Daniel Garcia is a main event talent. This is playing on the goodwill of people who go, man, maybe now he'll finally get a push.
I think he's wrestled, it's either two or three times. I mean, maybe more than that. It feels like every week he's beat some loser, right? Like, I think it was Rhett Titus the last time we were together, and Kevin Matthews, and, I don't remember who last week, but last week it was Rhett Titus. So, like, I'm watching stuff out of order, so I don't even remember all these guys, but
it doesn't matter. None of these guys who he's beat have mattered.
No, exactly. I think the one guy he's beaten that matters is Brody King, and I think he beat Buddy Matthews as well. And he did get the win in that six-man match against House of Black. So he's beaten House of Black guys. That's basically who he's beaten.
Great.
So Danny is about to answer MJF. He says, that is huge. And then before he can say anything, out comes Will Ospreay. Buffalo, stand up and let me see those beautiful faces. And he says, I didn't mean to interrupt. I appreciate your homeboy, Daniel Garcia. This guy has made it publicly known that he wants a shot at the international title. You've been racking up win after win. You're doing it quicker than I last in the bedroom, bruv. And then he's, sorry, babe, I'm trying my best. That's a good line, I guess.
He broke the fourth wall again. What are we doing? Stop it.
Yeah, and meanwhile, she's probably in the back warming up to lose on Rampage.
Yeah.
Because of all the hard work and because I appreciate you and because I love Buffalo, next week you've got it. International Championship, Ospreay versus Garcia, but I'll sweeten this deal, Sunshine. How about I put the World Championship on the line as well, bruv? And he sticks out his hand, and Daniel shakes it. Next week, Chicago, Ospreay versus Garcia for all the gold. Let's get it. And MJF, he's not impressed, stares down Ospreay, and then he says, Max, about your challenge. And MJF says, hold on. That's a huge opportunity for you. That's massive. I'm really proud of you, man. Best of luck. And he leaves the ring and gets Wembley's off. And he left through the heel tunnel, but I'm told he's been entering and exiting through that heel tunnel all the time. So,
well, yeah, Wembley's off. Nobody believes that Daniel Garcia is going to win any title against anybody.
I think he's going to beat Will next week.
Do
I
you?
Really do. I do, yeah. Yeah.
Where is Beach Blast? Chicago?
Chicago, yeah.
Why the hell would you do it in Buffalo?
I don't know. I don't know. See, is CM Punk's gonna interfere and cost Will the match?
No, this is stupid.
I mean, maybe he won't, but it feels like he's gonna win. I think the story is that Will's trying to do too much. He's gonna lose to Swerve, and then he's gonna lose to.
Well, how does that get Daniel Garcia over then?
Because he beat Will.
He beat Will Ospreay, who had too much on his plate and was overextended, and it wasn't a strong win. It was just a win, and this is the Curtis Axel beats Triple H type of thing.
Last week, did it not seem like they were setting up a team for Blood and Guts of like Swerve and Daniel Garcia and MJF and maybe someone else? And now, like, they didn't even mention Blood and Guts this week.
Yeah, you know what would get Daniel Garcia over? A strong win over a strong Will Ospreay.
Yeah, yeah, like this week. And yes. Then Ospreay goes in and he's doubting himself. And
yes!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Curtis Axel, I just watched him this week.
I'm sorry.
I watched the first episode of NXT. You know, it was a good match with Tyson Kidd.
No, but still, I mean, you get my point here. It's this weird thinking that now has seeped into every single wrestling company.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we can't push the young guys because they're far too young yet. And we're not going to give them strong wins over our stars because we have to. It's the preponderance of wrestling on television has screwed up so much booking by all these companies because they're so afraid to beat people who are stars.
Yeah, it just, you know what? Book like, look at the way, and I know
people, if you have a young guy who's a star, have him win and then have him win a title and have him win a title clean.
Or you don't even have to win, but look, okay, people are going to not like this because I'm bringing up WWE, but look at how WWE debuted Jacob Fatu on Friday. He laid out Cody Rhodes.
Well, I'll give the other side of that, because what they've been doing with Javon Evans on NXT by having him lose all the time is stupid.
Oh,
same with Wesley.
Vastly stupid. But I'm just saying, like, you can do that. You can have a guy debut like that, and then, you know what? If he gets over, he gets over, and if he doesn't, move on to the next guy. You know, like, you don't have to protect these guys so much. Like, it's just like, yeah, it's great that when you go back and look, and Dynamite record 47-1. Well, okay. You know,
I mean, look, the records are great, the wins are great, and great, you had, you know, a 4-star match on Cage Match or whatever, but the fact is, all of our young talent has been our young talent for 5 years now, and they're not on another level. They haven't elevated. Private Party is not elevated. Top Flight is not elevated.
Daniel
Garcia is not elevated. Sammy Guevara is at home.
Brian Danielson lost to Daniel Garcia 2.5 years ago. What did that do? They didn't
Nothing.
Follow up on it. Yeah, they didn't follow up on it. So speaking of Will and being overextended, we go backstage to Swerve, and he says, Will, you don't have the strength to carry two worlds on your shoulder. Tonight when we tag against the Gates of Agony, you better have your head on straight. You got a focus problem, and it's not a good look for a world champion. And Nana says, whose house, and has a sip of coffee. That's it.
Or whatever imaginary beverage is in there, because there's nothing in there.
Oh, well, you might be drinking.
There's nothing in that cup.
Okay. Well, one day there's going to be something in that
cup. So he can throw it.
Yes, exactly.
And dance.
And next we're 20 minutes into the show and we haven't had any wrestling yet, but we did get a wrestling match and I was not aware it was happening. John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta of the Blackpool Combat Club against Bushi, Tatan, and Hiromu Takahashi of the Los Ingobernables.
No, that wasn't Bushi. That wasn't Bushi. That was Shingo Takagi.
You're correct. Why did I write down Bushi? You're correct. Yeah, it was Shingo. I got to change
New this. Japan historian Jeff Hawkins. Thank you.
Yeah, I got to change this and hope I didn't write down Bushi anywhere else. all right. So 20 minutes before we got our first thing, Hiromu's first time on Dynamite, I think. And again, like, I didn't know any advertising. Apparently Tony mentioned it on Twitter yesterday, but I don't know.
Why would you want to do that? And maybe even like import a bunch of, stuffed cats for people to buy, you know?
There you go. Right away, Tatan did a head first tope onto Wheeler. He just like slammed into him, and I was like, oh man, I was worried that he wasn't gonna be okay, but I think he was fine. There's a New Japan ref So they flew a New Japan ref in for some reason. They went through a commercial. Crowd was pretty dead after it. Bryan Danielson was on commentary, and he didn't say much of anything. Although when Shingo did a brainbuster on somebody, on Wheeler, Danielson said, "I don't want to take a brain, but I don't want to take that move on Sunday." And I think he should talk to Jericho and then just say, "That doesn't work for me, brother." Like, isn't that what Jericho said last week?
Yes.
Like, if you don't want to take a move, just say that doesn't work for me, brother. But yeah, it was just like, you know, they're just a random match with a bunch of people doing stuff. And then all of a sudden, John Moxley goes and grabs a chair and hits Hiromu in the back with a chair. I have no idea why. Like, it's not like it escalated or anything. It's just, I think Moxley said, "I'm done with this match." And that was it. And then they started to brawl. And then all of a sudden, who should make the save but Tetsuya Naito's music? And I say this as a joke sometimes because the music plays. But in this case, the music played. John Moxley stopped what he was doing and watched.
And he watched.
And then all of a sudden, Tetsuya Naito comes sauntering through the gate or through the tunnel, and Jeff Hardy's back there saying, "Get moving!" Yeah, you know, like, and I'm joking, but he stood there, then he slowly starts to, I mean, that's his gimmick, right? Like, this is what he does. So he starts taking off his thing,
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
If you never watched New Japan, did you know that was his gimmick?
Nope. And Excalibur didn't explain it either because he assumed
Kind of joked about it. You know, it takes a while. But the point of this match should have been to get over Shingo Takagi as a killer.
Well, he kind of did.
He kind of did. I'm saying the point should have been to do it stronger if it's just a kind of did.
Yeah.
Because that's the big match with Bryan Danielson, and that's what we should be hyping for instead. I mean,
And also Tetsuya Naito and Moxley.
Why not just have Shingo Takagi come out and kill Claudio?
Why couldn't they have just done Moxley and Danielson against Shingo and Hiromu and Naito? Like, they were all there. Why not just do that match? And then end in with the DQ that you're.
Yeah, I know. The match was fine for what it was, and then it was Taz getting annoyed. Yeah, I should have hit him with a chair. It's like, no, whatever.
So Moxley.
Let's get the belt on Naito and get rid of it finally, so we don't have. Apparently, there were 23 belts in the first 90 minutes of this show.
Oh my god. Well, yeah, but 9 of them are like the same belt. Moxley finally has enough, and he runs up the ramp, and he starts brawling with Naito. They brawl into the crowd. There's no reaction to any of this. Claudio Wheeler and Tatan disappeared off the face of the earth. I don't know where they went. I guess they were brawling at one point, and then Danielson goes down to make the save. But by the time he gets down there, it's just Shingo. And him and Shingo... because he was giving Wheeler the elbows of death. Danielson shows up, breaks it up, and then they had a stare down and no reaction at all. Some people were trying to chant, but it wasn't coming through. I don't know what they were chanting. But
I think they were chanting yes, yes, and then Shingo Takagi was kind of pretending to do the yes and then no type of a thing.
But it was pretty muted. Like,
you
can barely hear it, yeah.
Because nobody knows who Shingo Takagi is, or Naito, or whoever
be fair, they did do a video package a couple weeks ago.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying in terms of there's been no repetition.
No.
There's been no reps. There's been no training the audience, so to speak.
Well, people are going to see, like, oh, well, Shingo got a win on Rampage, but nobody watches Rampage. And, like, so for a lot of people, this might have been their first time seeing Shingo. Other than that video package.
Yeah. It's fine. It's one of those things where we're relying on the fandom. It's basically Tony wants fans to, you know what it is? It's he's opening discussions in the audience for people to talk to each other when they ask, who is that? Oh, that's the guy from New Japan. Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
He's booking for the sickos.
It's friendship. It's all about friendship.
When you book for the sickos, eventually only the sickos are going to watch.
Yes.
That's another problem. But anyways, next we got Jay White and Ray Phoenix in an Owen tournament match. There's a women's tournament match going on, right?
There's a women's tournament, yes.
I don't think they talked about it at all.
Collision, they had a match. It was Deeb and
Yeah, on Collision, but I'm saying tonight, I don't think they plugged anything.
Supposed to be one, I thought, because Hikaru Shida was at the tapings.
Yeah. So maybe, but they're taping three shows tonight.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, they're taping Rampage and Collision. So we're probably going to, by the end of tonight, we'll probably have the whole bracket done, I would think, almost. Or we'll at least have the next round. We'll have the semifinals. But anyways, Jay White and Phoenix, this match is what it is. Winner's facing the winner of Jeff Jarrett in the wild card. We still don't know when that match is going to happen. Before the match, the ref tossed out Penta, Alex Abrahantes, and the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, or whatever they're called, the Bang Bang Gang? Yeah, the Bang Bang Gang. And at first I was confused because I thought they were all banned from ringside, because I remember Chris Daniels cutting a promo talking about how everyone was banned from ringside, but then I realized that's the other tournament that's going on right now.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so apparently you are allowed to interfere in this tournament, but the ref decided that he didn't want any interference in this match, so he sent everybody to the back. And they just had a match. It was nothing. Like, I mean, it was the bare minimum of what Jay White and Ray Phoenix would ever do.
I think they were trying that because Teton was on this show.
Oh, okay.
That Ray couldn't really do anything. So this was the most Jay White of Jay White matches.
Yeah, and Ray Phoenix might as well have been, like, you know, Serpentico.
Yes. Like, I think there was a deal made. Okay, you can have him on the show, but he can't do anything spectacular. Deal.
And he didn't. And that was it. And Jay White, I wrote down, he kept going for the Blade Runner, but then eventually he just hit it. And then he took forever to cover. So I figured, okay, well, Phoenix is kicking out. Nope. That was it. He just hit the Blade Runner and won. I don't know how long, like, it just felt like it barely had started and it was over. So
yes,
I was very surprised by this. But Jay White advances and he's going to face Hangman, or I mean, whoever the wild card is in the next round, or possibly Jeff Jarrett, but it's going to be Hangman. I think we can safely assume at this point, but we'll see. So the Bang Bang Gang comes out to celebrate, and they've got all their belts with them. So I think this is where you got up to your 23 belts, because they got 9 belts between them. And then Taz is quick to remind us it's really just one set of belts. And the patriarchy interrupts the party, and Christian had a stare down with Jay White. Crouch chanting, "He's our father." So apparently the patriarchy are going to be baby faces in this feud, which is baffling to me because everyone else in this stable is a heel. Shayna is like the most hated person on the roster practically. Nick is a great heel. Luchasaurus is whatever.
Are they? Because I think the Bang Bang Gang may be the baby faces in this one.
Well, the crowd were chanting, "He's our father."
Okay. So no, that's true.
I don't know. Like, maybe they're just going to let the crowd decide.
Yes.
But that's a problem.
That'll go well.
Yeah. I think Christian is naturally the more likable of the two, because people like Christian. Like, they love this father thing.
They like him being a jerk.
Yeah, they do. And Jay White, they just don't like Jay White, period. Like, he's a hateable person.
Yes.
Like, you know, they like his wrestling, but yeah. He's a good heel. Speaking of good heels, we got a couple guys that aren't. Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. Backstage, pumping up their sneakers. They say, "We got to address some business." Nick, he says, "Last week I brought some foreign objects in the ring and the Acclaim took advantage of me. And they used that to beat us." And Matthew says, "Yeah, but we're still the AW tag champs. Okada's still the international champ. And after Forbidden Door, the scapegoat Jack Perry will be the TNT champion." Isn't there a tournament for the TNT title going on? Like, wasn't, I don't know.
They to get into the ladder match.
Yeah, isn't there like 2 more people that still have to be decided for that match?
I have no idea.
Oh, I don't either. And they didn't talk about it. But anyways, it doesn't matter because Jack Perry's winning anyways. Next week, the Elite have decided to insert their very own wild card into the Owens Cup tournament. So
just retconned this.
Yep.
They just said, okay, we've known about this wild card for 2 weeks. Now they're saying it was the Elite that put the wild card in there. I don't know if I like that or not. It just feels lazy to me.
So because of how they did it, the natural assumption would be that it's going to be Hangman, except he's not going to be with the Elite because of the fact that they picked him. But I think it's going to be a double swerve. And really, like, he's going to pretend like he doesn't like them, but he's actually going to be with them.
Yes.
I think it's how that's going to.
And he's going to be the fifth for Blood and Guts.
And he's going to pin Swerve. You know, unless they belt Ospreay, and if they belt Ospreay, then all these plans go out the window. But I think the setup, I believe what's going to happen is
Hangman Swerve at Wembley?
Yeah, for the belt. Hangman wins the Owen, and he beats Swerve at Blood and Guts. He submits Swerve at Blood and Guts. So that's the setup for, and then now people think, okay, now he's got his win. So he could win or he could lose. You know, if he goes in and cold against Swerve, everyone's going to think, well, he's got to win because he's not going to get lose three straight times to Swerve. But if he beats him at Blood and Guts, then maybe now that now people are going to think, well, maybe Swerve's going to retain.
I'm fine with that. I just don't understand why they never announced that the Elite was inserting the wild card in the Owen earlier.
I mean, like when they first did it.
Yes.
No? Yeah, yeah. And so that means people are thinking, oh, well, maybe it's going to be Moxley after he loses the title to Naito. Maybe it's going to be Will Ospreay. Well, it's not going to be either of them. Will's got a match next week. It's not Will Ospreay.
It's somebody that the Elite wants in there, so it has to be Hangman.
It has to be, or you know,
or someone new. You know, here's Sammy Guevara. Oh,
God, that could be. I mean, maybe it's Jay Lethal.
Toriano.
Yeah, Jay Lethal wouldn't be bad, but I mean, they're not doing that.
You'd insert Lethal into the tournament against Jarrett. Okay,
yeah, that's the Elite just screwing with guys, right?
All
right. And he says the wild card is going to bring the championship back to the Elite where it belongs, and we'll have all the power and all the gold. Yeah.
Is that what gives you power in wrestling? Is it? Okay.
Apparently, if you watch TNA in 2010.
Yes.
It could be Ricky Starks.
Could be. Yeah.
It won't be, but it could be. All right. So the Acclaimed are out, and apparently Excalibur says they're not scheduled. I hate when people do that. They did their full entrance with no rap. And then they went to commercial, and then they come back, and Caster did, he started like he was going to do a rap. He's like, yo, 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 listen. But then he just did a promo. The last week, the Acclaimed fought the Young Cucks, and he said this like three times, and every time they bleeped it.
He was hoping for a chant.
Yeah, he's not getting it. And the results surprised no one. I think it probably surprised a few people. The People's Choice pinned the World Tag Champs, and we earned a World Tag Team title shot. Young Cucks, we exposed you for the soft-assed, self-important EVPs that you are. We proved that you guys can't run the TV production. You can't run the company. We're getting up in that ass, and we're getting those titles back, and that's a mic drop. And the crowd is just bored for this. And I just watched a promo that they did on the anniversary show, and it was worse than this. And they're talking about the Bucks virgin asses, and they're getting all up in them. And it's like, I don't want to hear this crap. And I don't think the fans do either. I just want to hear him do his rap. And he's not doing that, so they don't like him. But then Anthony Bowen says, all we aim to do is to beat you to, and I have no idea what word he said. I wrote down entim and nozzles. Is that a word? Is that what he said? I have no idea. He says, all we want to do is beat you to whatever word he said one more time. Nick, you're talking about cheating. Don't make excuses because you all have none. We've been strategizing about the best time to issue this challenge. And when we do, you're going to be looking at the new two-time tag team champions. And I haven't had a chance to say this in a while, so scissor me, daddy ass. And then before they can do it, they're cut off by someone talking. And every time this happens, I don't know who it is. And it was Okada. Like, I should know by now. When I hear a voice, I don't recognize
it. I actually thought it was going to be Brandon Cutler, but yeah.
Well, I know his voice, and I knew it wasn't him. So, yeah, it was Okada, and he says, scissor me, bitch. And the crowd all laughs because he said indeed. That's a little bit of a deep cut for some of you youngsters. Nick, I want to thank you for that rainmaker. Or Nick says, thank you for that rainmaker. And he says, first item on today's agenda. And then Matt starts to get mad at the crowd, and he says, we're trying to conduct business. So he stole Christian's line. And he said, the three of us challenge the three of you pricks, the Elite versus the Acclaimed daddy ass at Forbidden Door. And I'm like, good God, no. Like, please don't do this match. And Billy Gunn grabs the mic, and he says, I got no idea what you were saying because these people all think you suck. And he says, as such, I'd like to kick all three of your asses myself. I know how to deal with EVPs. I'm kind of a big deal, but I happen to know a president. And who do we get on the screen but Hiroshi Tanahashi? And he cut a promo. He says, I'm coming to open the Forbidden Door to fight you and the Elite. And he talks about Okada being his biggest career rival. And I'm thinking, okay, now it's a little more interesting. He says, the Scissor Ace is coming. They cut to Okada, and he's laughing. It's like she washed up Tanahashi. So yeah, bring it on. And Tony Khan signed the match. So it's the Elite and versus Tanahashi and the Acclaimed. I don't think this makes the card better, but I suppose if I was local and I wanted to see Tanahashi, kind of like us in Vegas, you know, that would be kind of cool to see Tanahashi live, but that's about it. Like, I'm not buying this pay-per-view for Tanahashi. That's, I don't know.
No, there's going to be the Tanahashi party match.
Yeah, yeah. And Yokata and Lili get the night off. That's fine. They should get the win, the Acclaimed and Tana. I mean, Tana really should probably pin like Nick or something, but maybe the Elite are going to cheat and they'll pin the Acclaimed. I don't know. Who cares? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't.
No, not at all. We go backstage to a remarkable.
Actually, that's another problem with Forbidden Door is none of these matches really matter in the hierarchy because Naito's going to take his belt back to New Japan. New Japan's going to be New Japan it's nothing of real consequence.
Probably not. I mean, I suppose, you know, theoretically, Mercedes having two belts is a big deal. Somebody's going to be the TNT champion, so that kind of matters, I guess. I suppose there's some conjecture about who's going to win between Will Ospreay and Swerve, so that kind of matters.
Yeah.
So we go back, and remember a couple weeks ago, I recreated a Mark Briscoe promo that was just amazing promo, and I tried my best, and a lot of people liked it. We put it up on YouTube. And then last week they did it again because it was such a hit the first time. So then this week they do it again. Now this group is officially called the Conglomeration. Mark Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly, and Orange Cassidy.
I don't mind the name.
No, it's fine. So she asked Mark, and he says, Sunday, we're going to have a convergence on the Big Apple. The Conglomeration's there, kicking ass, taking names. I got a ladder match. I'm going to add the TNT title match to my collection. Orange Cassidy as Zack Sabre Jr. in a one-on-one match. And then Kyle O'Reilly takes over, and he starts to do a Mark Briscoe promo. And
this is the best Kyle O'Reilly's been in AEW.
Thank you. It was. He says, the word of the day is synchronicity. Through the power of motivation, it would be a shame if I broke my shin in your ass. Zack Sabre Sr. wouldn't even recognize you. Called Zack Sabre Jr. soft. And then he just stops in the middle of his promo.
He bails on the promo, which I hate as a comedy trope when you're doing a perfect bit and then you just bail on it like that.
He said, how was that?
I adore watching Mark Briscoe watch Kyle O'Reilly do Mark Briscoe. That thing right there. I may go back and watch that 500 times.
I couldn't keep up, so I probably missed some lines. And
they finally figured out how to make Kyle O'Reilly interesting on AEW television.
Yeah,
congratulations to all.
Kyle, and then Mark says Kyle O'Reilly's gonna whip your ass tonight, Zack Sabre Jr. And then Orange Cassidy's gonna do it again on Sunday, and then they leave. And then Orange Cassidy and Renee are left, and they're talking,
and they're not, and you can't hear them.
You can't hear a word they're saying. She's got the mic down, and I don't know what they were
thinking. And Orange is mumbling. Yeah, it's like, no, you need to put the mic in it so you can hear the mumbling part.
Yeah, but, so that's another time when they just let this thing go on just 10 seconds too long.
I just thought it was inspired to invoke Zach, that there is a Zack Sabre Senior.
that was great. That was great. And he's not even going to recognize you when Orange Cassidy's done with you.
Pippa Pig.
Yeah. So they built up the match for later tonight. They built up the match for the weekend. It was good. It was maybe the best thing on the show.
Mark Briscoe is
national
joy
treasure.
And must be protected at all costs.
Yeah. Is he in the Owen?
No, he's in the he's in the TNT ladder match. Because remember, it's like I have one belt on one shoulder. I need balance.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Next, we got Tony Storm, Mariah May, and Mina Shirakawa against Saraya, Harley Cameron, and Anna Jay. And Mariah comes through the tunnel with Tony. Then she runs to the back and comes through again with Mina. And Excalibur tells us that we want Mina is trending. So he's full Michael Cole mode at this point. Mina teasing, tagging Tony, but she tags Mariah instead. And they do a double team move on Harley, and then they shake their tits. That's what they did. I'm just a reporter. Mariah does a thing where she can't decide who to tag, and then they both tagged her.
They both slapped her tits.
Okay. There you go. Then Anna and Soraya pull them off the apron. They go to commercial. After commercial, Mariah's still in there. She makes a hot tag to Tony. She hits the sweet cheek music on Soraya. Then she starts arguing with Mina. I wrote down Naya tags herself in. Oh, it must have been Mia.
Yes. Mina. Yeah, Mina tagged herself in.
Yeah, Nia Jax tagged in. That would be something. Harley gives her a backstabber. Mariah broke up the pin, headbutted her. Anna Jay gave her a flatliner. Thez pressed by Tony. Mina hits a spinning backfist on Soraya, and then she hits another one on Harley. Shakes her boobs some more, and then give her a Mina driver and got the pin. That was something. We had two world title challengers teaming together in this match, which was a theme on the night.
I'm going to say something that the Stardom people aren't going to like, I think.
Okay.
I think both Anna Jay and Harley Cameron were better than Mariah May in this match.
Maybe. Harley was great.
Harley was perfectly cromulent, as I like to say. No, she was doing a lot of, you know, she had some timing spots in there that worked. But, like, when she did the, or when Mariah did, like, the spinning side slam and just landed weird with Harley Cameron on there, I was like, oh, what? No, I don't think you're telling me you're gonna put Harley Cameron, or not Harley Cameron, but Mariah May in Wembley.
Oh yeah.
No,
she's winning this tournament.
No.
Well, it's happening. I mean, whether it's a good idea or not, it's happening.
And Anna Jay's actually quite improved over the last 6 months or so. I don't understand.
She's going to be great when she goes to NXT.
Yeah. It's one of those weird things where we don't give enough credit to people who have actually improved within the system because we don't see it enough. But, man, Anna Jay's really kind of either been doing side work in terms of improving or something, because, you know, because it's on her to improve now that she's actually signed to a TV contract. So yeah, but look, this match was fine, and you know, I have a, like, Soraya is just cashing a check at this point.
Oh yeah,
which is fine, get paid. But it's funny to me because it's just the number of excuses people have given me about her over the years. But the match did what it was supposed to do. It built to the pay per view, so I was fine with it.
Don't tell anybody this, but Soraya's never been any good. So
you can write Paul at Paul Ace Fontaine on Elon Musk.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction, among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
So after the match, Mariah May went and got some champagne for Tony and Mina, and they reluctantly toast. Then they danced. Mina and Mariah hugged, and then Tony grabs Mariah, starts dancing with her. Mina grabs a champagne bottle, and she goes to hit Tony with it, but Tony moves out of the way, and she just levels Mariah. Mariah's dead. Crowd's chanting, "You fucked up." Mina and Tony stared at each other. Aubrey, they look like they want to fight. Aubrey tells them to save it for Sunday. Tony's checking on her. Refs are holding Mina back, and Tony screams at her, "How dare you do this?" And the problem with this feud is I'm not sure who we're supposed to be rooting for. Like, I know they're fighting over Mariah, but who do we want Mariah to end up with?
All of them.
Oh, so we want a three-way.
Yes.
That's what we're rooting for? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So how is that accomplished in this match?
It's not. It doesn't matter. It's one of those weird things. It's kind of a poorly built in some ways.
Okay, so you know what? Like, three ways or love triangles can work.
Yes. I mean,
but the thing is, you have to establish, okay, like, you think the big one was Stephanie, Triple H, and Kurt.
They're all going to end up together, Paul. Yeah, this is going to be one big stable in some way for a while, I think.
Well, they team tonight, so yeah. I mean, so they team so they can do the breakup so they can get back together and team.
Yes, that's what's going to happen.
Go back to Stardom and we never see her again.
No, that's probably going to happen too. It's like, send Mina back. We'll break off Mariah. Mariah will win the title at Wembley. And then we'll just forget about it.
Someone caught me saying indeed, so that was good. But it was actually Funaki who said it, I think.
Yes, it was.
Shinoku. All right. Notable thing here. They went to a video package for Mercedes and Stephanie Vaquer, but before that, they plugged the countdown, which usually airs on TNT, but this week it's airing on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So that's something, I think. The fact that TNT doesn't even want to air it. Because usually they put it after Rampage.
Is there soccer on TNT this week?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I thought that was interesting. But they do a video package for Mercedes and Stephanie Vaquer. It's pretty good. She says she's coming for the title that was meant to be hers and to show why she's the greatest of all time. Stephanie says your arrogance is just plain offensive. Mercedes said your title is mine. I'm the Heffa. I'm the CEO of women's wrestling. This match is for both belts, bitch. I've been training and working my ass off to get that title. It was supposed to be mine.
This is a great video package. I really was.
Stephanie says she's going to be the first ever AEW TBS and New Japan Strong champion. And Mercedes said there's a price to pay when you mess with Mercedes Moné. She finally got the catchphrase right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's good. And then she used it again in her follow-up promo where she says, "Hola, Stephanie Chica. I flew to Mexico to watch your..."
Don't know. That's a perfect heel movie, even though she's the baby face in this feud.
I think she's the heel. I'm not
the sure. Sarcastic Spanish. Yeah. I loved it.
"I flew to Mexico to watch your title match. I'm here at Dynamite, but where are you? You must be salty after I beat you in Mexico." So she does her same catchphrase again. "There's a price to pay when you mess with Mercedes Moné. You have a match on Saturday on Collision right here in Buffalo. The TNT champion will sit ringside for your match. And then this Sunday, I'll write my final wrong. Two belt Moné, because she changes everything." Or two belt Moné, she changes everything. So another catchphrase.
I'm actually very looking forward to that match.
I think it's going to be really good. Might steal the show. Will Ospreay and Swerve will probably
be pretty good. Will Ospreay and Swerve will be the best match on the show.
Not TNT, for the people that like those kind of spotty monkey fests, that TNT title match would probably be really good.
I think you meant spot monkey fest, but okay, continue.
What did I say? Spotty monkey fest?
Spotty monkey fest, yes.
I got to clean this up before tomorrow. All right. Next, we got a Learning Tree segment, and I did watch this because, cheap plug, I'm doing the Brian and Vinny show tomorrow, filling in for Vinny V, so I had to watch this segment. And it actually wasn't too bad. It was Big Bill had a mic, and he says, "Joe, Hook, Shibata, look what you did to our apple." Brian Keith's there in a sling. I have no idea why. They didn't tell me, and I didn't watch Collision.
They showed. They showed it right after this.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't remember them showing it, but you know what? They might have said this past week, and that's usually my cue when they say this past week is to fast forward. So if I missed it, that's on me.
You missed it.
Okay. So they injured him anyways. So he says, "You took him out, and then you challenged us to a six-man tag, knowing we no longer have our third man available. In the wise words of the sensei of the sickos..."
It's going to be a new shirt, AEWshop.com.
Yeah, Chris Jericho. "When one door closes, another door, perhaps a forbidden door..." See what I did there, guys? "Opens." He's got this character down pat. Chris Jericho grabs the mic. "Hi, guys." That gets a big pop, and I was sick to my stomach. "Listen, everyone who knows me knows that I'm in AEW for one reason. I'm just here to help the young guys." And as you pointed out to me in the noted AEW.
Yeah, I pretty much needed to tell you this because I figured you didn't know on your own. But yes, this is a reference to a Cody Rhodes quote from Fightful today.
Yeah, he says, when you hear that a veteran is here to help the young guys, watch out. So Chris Jericho took advantage of that because I'm sure every single one of these people watching the show tonight read Fightful and knew exactly what he was talking about. Even if you didn't, it was still a good line. He said, that's why I bring so many young people into the Jericho Vortex so I can help their careers, including the Redwood and the Bad Apple. And it's not fair that Shibata and Hook hurt my Bad Apple. So Samoa joke, the joke is on you. We found another partner, one of the toughest men I ever met. I've been to Japan almost 60 times. That's a lot, guys. And we got a video from this guy as well. We haven't watched it yet because I want to watch with all my branches. And Joe, Hook, and Shibata, you're going to learn a lesson from the learning tree that you won't like. A fellow Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Famer just like me, Minoru Suzuki. And this got the mildest of mild pops. Usually when they announce Minoru Suzuki's name, like, the place goes nuts, and they got nothing here. Should have played his music. And then so we get a video package. And the way Jericho introduced this, you knew he was getting screwed somehow. And sure enough, Minoru Suzuki's on the screen, and he does a promo in Japanese. But luckily they put up subtitles. So this was actually pretty smart. He says, I understand you want me to be your partner at Forbidden Door, but you're mistaken about one thing. I don't want to wrestle by your side. I want to wrestle you one-on-one. You're trying to avoid me because you're scared. You're chickening out, aren't you? I hate your soft way of thinking now. The learning tree? What is that? I want nothing to do with anything like that. I will not be your partner. Instead, you put your FTW on the line. Chris, I wrote down Chris fucking Jericho. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Okay. He laughs. Thank you guys, see you soon. And Excalibur does the fake laugh, and he says Jericho should have watched the video. The crowd's chanting,
I liked that part of it. I liked that. Oh, Jericho just brought a tape in and he didn't bother watching it.
Yeah, because he's a cocky.
Actually, you know, the best part of this whole segment is watch Big Bill and his reaction the entire time, just the wide-eyed, mouth agape, watching this in horror type of thing. He was fantastic in this segment.
Brian Keith was not impressed. He said, Chris Jericho ain't no lame ass chicken. That was his one line. He continues to deliver.
Yes.
Make the most of your minutes.
Yes. Less is more. He's great.
Out comes Joe, Hook, and Shibata. And Joe says, well, isn't this awkward? You came here to Buffalo looking for a savior and you struck out again, Jericho. You see, what we've learned tonight, the learning tree doesn't have enough branches. Chris, you know what stands before you are students of the game. We watched every learning tree segment to learn everything about our opponents. And my friend Shibata, the Worldsmith, he's got it summed up best. And Shibata pulls out his phone and says, oh, brother, this guy sucks. And the crowd starts chanting, this guy sucks. Jericho and Joe just like square off. I assume they're probably going to do a match on Collision or something. It's going to be like Jericho and Bill against Joe and Hook, maybe, or Joe and Shibata. Jericho slapped.
Well, there's going to be one match in there where Keith takes off the sling eventually.
Is this fake, this injury?
It's a work injury, yes.
Oh, okay. I believe. See, I don't know. Jericho slapped him, Joe headbutted him, brawl starts. Babyface got the advantage, the heels bailed. How was that? That was fine. So this is the one where I was more interested in the match after than I was before. And because I was like negative interested in this match. Although I really kind of want to see Hook, Shibata, and Joe team up. And so that's going to be kind of cool. Now we don't get to see that, but I think Minoru and Jericho could be fun.
It could be.
Yeah. Depends if
Minoru's going to do the Minoru match. Jericho, I think a lot of it depends on what kind of match Jericho wants to do here. We know he's going to play the cowardly heel a bit. Is he going to want to do the Lionheart moves?
Well, I think that was the idea because he kind of flipped a switch at some point here and he started to get angry, like legit angry with Joe. So maybe the idea is he's going to flip his character again and do.
Yeah, maybe.
Go back to whatever. The Painmaker. Okay, next we got Zack Sabre Jr. and Kyle O'Reilly. And This was fantastic. Now, Orange Cassidy was on commentary. At one point, he called Kyle pretty cool, reference back to Cool Kyle, although I don't think Orange Cassidy even knew about that. Taz asked, why couldn't you be Purple Cassidy? And Orange Cassidy says, well, my mom gave me the name.
Yeah, there was a through line with Taz, because Taz had a bit of a spat with Jordan Grace accidentally. Online. Remember when we were talking about I trademarked that? Well, Jordan Grace had posted, you know, when if you can't survive if I let you. And Taz, not knowing that it was mostly an homage, says, nope, you can't use that. Trademarked. And then had to apologize later because he didn't realize that Jordan Grace was merely just
doing a tribute to him,
yes.
Plus, did he trademark it for himself, or did he trademark it for the company that he worked for at the time?
He trademarked it in general just for his ownership.
Because Joe used that line too a lot, if I'm not mistaken.
You're correct.
Okay. So King Newman was watching at ringside, and I was baffled because there was a gentleman sitting beside Kyle O'Reilly, and at first I thought it was Preston Vance, because it kind of looks a little like him, right? And it turns out it was Gabe Kidd, who they finally mentioned it because they plugged the match on Rampage, Gabe Kidd and Roderick Strong against the Infantry. And then it dawned on me, oh, maybe that's Gabe Kidd. And like but they never told us it was Gabe Kidd.
Yes, they did. They told us it was Gabe Kidd and he's here, and there must be some working arrangement between the Undisputed Kingdom and...
Was this during the entrance again?
Whatever group, yes. Oh, okay. Yes.
So it was my fault again. I guess I got to start watching the entrances.
But it was Excalibur doing it really quickly. It's like, here's all the story you need to know about why Gabe Kidd's sitting next to Roderick Strong so we can set up this tag match at Collision.
If somebody happened to, you know, because this does happen, people change the channel and then they come back and they time it. So you figure, okay, well, they're going to commercial. So if I come back in like 5 minutes, I won't miss anything because it'll just be entrances. So if you flip back and all of a sudden you see Roderick Strong sitting beside someone at ringside, there's going to be a lot of people watching that don't know who that is.
And I agree. And I don't, you know, I only knew because I've seen stuff from New Japan with him.
Well, but, I do too, and I just didn't recognize him.
But at the same time, if this were a sitcom of some kind, he is Mike Bennett and Matt Taven's, like, cousin from England. Yeah, come over. I mean, he just looks like a generic dude who's also in the Undisputed Kingdom with a bad haircut.
And you know what? It would be reasonable for me to assume it's Preston Vance and he's just got a new gimmick. I legit thought that there was probably something on Rampage and Collision I missed where they brought Preston Vance back. I literally thought it was Preston Vance. Like, if you look at the two of them, like, no, I know. I finally realized it was, and actually, Preston's quite a bit bigger than Gabe Kidd, but he was sitting down, so I couldn't.
Well, I guess that's better than me. I thought it was Heath Slater at first.
Oh, okay. That probably actually get some buys. Anyways, it was him. And they mentioned that Gabe Kidd and Roderick Strong are going to be wrestling the Infantry on Rampage. I think that's the only match they announced, so tune in for that. So they went through a commercial, and the crowd was super into it. Like, normally when they go to commercial and they come back, the crowd's dead, and they were, like, right into this. They're chanting, this is wrestling, and they kept plugging this tag match. They're just all – Tony must be just love the idea of Gabe Kidd on his show, I guess. I know Jeremy – I'll mention Jeremy Finestone again. He is, like, all in on Gabe Kidd. He thinks he's the next
– No, I think Gabe Kidd can talk.
Yeah. Well, he's – he can talk, but it's going to be tough for him. You know how we used to say Will Ospreay?
It's like, British talking.
No. He swears a lot.
Yes, and that's what,
like,
I meant.
Yeah, but it's like what's that movie? Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Like, it's like that. Like,
yeah, he's a Guy Ritchie character.
Yeah, he can't do three words without swearing. So it's going to be tough.
Yeah, you know, it's the only match they announced for Collision. They were already breaking up the team during the match.
Yeah, they're arguing. They did, like, just a ton of reversals, and they're going ankle locks into arm bars and back and forth. And the crowd was, like, it sounds almost like it would be boring, but the crowd was super into it. And at one point, they both threw kicks and that missed, and then they connected. Zach went for a double leg, but Kyle hit him with a knee strike, which would have been a great finish. Like, if it was UFC, it probably would have been. Zach hit him with the elbows of death, and he started slapping Kyle. They both exchanged slaps. Zach got the better of it, but then Kyle fired back. Zach did a cross arm breaker and transitioned to a triangle. Then he went back to the arm breaker, and Kyle tapped. It was a great match. Great, just great professional wrestling in this match, I thought. And
I don't have a strong opinion on this match because I was just like, okay, it's that.
The funny thing is, first Cassidy's on commentary the whole time, and all he kept saying was, "I can't do any of this."
Right.
So it's like, this is building. This is your build to the match. It's like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's not going to be this. It's basically what he said.
And then we got 30 different people from New Japan coming out.
What I wrote down. So they did a stare down, and all of a sudden TMDK shows up. This was
Shane Hayes and Robbie Eagles.
Correct. You're right. Yeah. No Mikey Nichols. And no then Ishii wanders out for some reason.
Yes.
And he squares off with Zach. He's standing beside Orange Cassidy. Gabe Kidd is screaming at everyone. We got like four different factions here, together because.
And none of these guys are going to be here past Sunday.
I don't even know Gabe Kidd, he's not here past Friday, I don't think. Robbie Eagles, what's he doing?
That's what it is. Oh, we're going to put this is the pay. You know what? You just nailed it. We have all these guys on Dynamite because they're going to be on Collision, but they have nothing to do with the pay-per-view. We're just doing a favor for New Japan.
They didn't announce anything.
No.
So you have no reason. Like, I imagine there's probably going to be, there's going to be a match. It's probably already been posted. Ishii is going to be wrestling somebody. Everyone's going to lose their minds over it. And I'm going to watch it in 2 weeks. Because I'm not going to know anything about it. I'm not going to see Tony's tweet. I'm not in the Discord, so I'm not going to see anybody talking about it unless you forward it to me, which you probably will now. So it's going to be like Ishii against Gabe Kidd, probably.
No, it's going to be a three-way. It's going to be Gabe Kidd, Ishii, and Robbie Eagles.
There you go. Or the Kingdom against, Ishii and Orange Cassidy. Yeah, that's probably a match, actually. Maybe it'll be on Ring of Honor. So I don't know, but yeah, you had all these guys out there and no rhyme or reason to any of it, because none of these guys, like, the funny thing is you think because it's New Japan they're all aligned, but they're all in different factions. So like Gabe Kidd, he hates them all, and he was probably swearing in his thing. He was texting me, actually, you know what, I think this is news. Hey, let me look at this.
Breaking news.
Oh, just announced for the pay-per-view. All Elite. This is news. Hang on. Now I got to open up Instagram. Oh, yeah, great.
Can't announce it on the TV show.
Willow Knight and Tom Nakano against Chris Statlander and Momo Watanabe. Who are Tom Nakano and Momo Watanabe? I don't know. It's Forbidden Door. All right, next. There we go. That's a match that's on the buy-in. Sorry for all you Momo Watanabe fans or whatever her name was. Sorry.
Wow.
Did I get it right?
Yes, you did. You did.
Oh, okay. Tom Nakano?
I think it's right? Tam Nakano, but you're probably right on that.
Oh, because I'm thinking Tom, like Tama. Yeah, okay. Beach Break next week in Chicago, presented by Shark Week on Discovery. Did I get that plug right? Are we going to get money for this? I don't think so. They didn't do, if they did a rundown of like Forbidden Door, I didn't see it.
They did.
I mean, they announced a bunch, like throughout the show, they would plug certain things, but they never did a rundown like
that. They should have just done a rundown of the card. Yes, that drove me nuts, man.
Yeah, but they didn't. So that's fine. They don't want us to buy it. Or maybe they know the card's no good. So I'll find the card somewhere at the end.
Don't worry, Tony, I'll do media.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, he is. Well, he's already done some, and there might be some more interesting stuff. Stay tuned, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Swerve and Will Ospreay against the Gates of Agony is your main event on the go-home show for Forbidden Door. And Swerve and Will, of course, are going to be facing each other in what I assume is the main event on Sunday for the AEW World Championship. But tonight they're teaming against the Gates of Agony. And so they argued over who's going to start, and then eventually they just – both double teamed one of the guys, and then both members of Gates and Agony were double teaming Will before they went into break. And at one point I was wondering, is this just like a tornado tag? But then after the break, they were back to just doing a regular tag match. Swerve was the babyface in peril, trying to make the tag, but Khan pulled Ospreay off the apron. Gates of Agony double teamed Swerve some more. Then they did some heel miscommunication. Swerve hit a brainbuster on Khan, hot tag to Will. Quickly they're double teaming him, but Will took him out with a flip. And then a standing shooting star press on Khan. Khan superplex into a jackhammer on Will. Swerve broke it up. Swerve headbutted Leone, but of course you can't headbutt a Samoan. So then Swerve just hit him with a Swerve stomp instead. Ospreay hit a Spanish fly on Khan for two. He went for the Tiger Driver, but he questioned himself. Then he went for a Stormbreaker, and then he got out. And then Will went for a super kick, but he accidentally super kicked Swerve. Leona hit him with a pounce, and Khan covered him for two. I actually bought that. I thought he was going to get pinned there. They double teamed him. Swerve did a thrust kick on Khan. Looked like he was aiming for Will when he hit Khan. Swerve and Will double teamed Leona. Osprey hit a poison rana and an os cutter on Leona, and I thought that was a finish, but Leona kicked out. And then Swerve stopped Khan from blocking Will, and Will just stared at him for a while. And then Swerve did that arm breaker spot, and then he hit the hidden blade on Toa Leona and got the pin. And I guess like I kind of was distracted a little bit because I was writing some stuff down for the show. And then did Will grab the belt? Is that why Swerve got mad at him?
Yes, he did. Yeah. He did the same. See, he did the thing he did on week one that I was talking about, where he grabbed. He was doing the cocky. Oh, look, I got both belts now.
Yeah, and then Swerve didn't like that, so he laid him out.
Yeah, and, I'm still trying to get over that they gave both Gates of Agony main event costuming. Because this is their big moment, as if we haven't seen the Gates of Agony every week on this show. But I like the traditional Cameroon garb on.
I didn't like the kickouts. Like, I don't know. But.
Yeah, no, you know what? It wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world to give the Gates of Agony a win here.
Well, after that miscommunication spot, like, yes. I thought that would have been, that's why I bought it.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, that made sense. And then, you know, but
if you were going to push the Gates of Agony as a legitimate tag team contender, but you're not going to, so don't, I mean, yeah, but well, no, I thought about that a bit. It's like, yeah, why not pin a guy here after the miscommunication?
I guess they're saving Will's first pinfall loss, probably, which
probably, I mean, but I mean,
I can't really argue with that. So natural booking, Will gets laid out here. So, I mean, that would lead you to believe he's winning the title on Sunday, but
yes,
sometimes it doesn't mean that.
I have no idea, to be honest with you. I think Tony could be panicking over ratings. I think he's going to wait to see what these ratings are to decide.
So you think it's still up in the air?
Yes.
All right, let me look at the card here and let's run dead.
I don't think it's going to be 500,000 or whatever it was. What was the number last week?
502. No, it's not gonna be that, but I don't think they're gonna be up to 800 either.
No, I think it's gonna be around 7 something,
maybe 675. Probably.
But if that's the case, I could see Tony putting the belt on Will.
Probably like a 0.23 maybe in the demo. All right. When was this posted? June 26th. That's today. Okay. So we've got Swerve Strickland versus Will Ospreay for the AEW World Title. So I'm gonna officially predict Swerve's gonna retain here. What do you say?
I say if the number is in the 500s, it's Will. If it's not, it's Swerve.
Okay, fair. That's sound logic. John Moxley and Tetsuya Naito for the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, Naito, take that crap belt and go home.
Yeah. John Moxley will get ready for Blood and Guts. TBS champion Mercedes Moné versus NJPW strong champion Stephanie Vaquer in a title versus title match. Two belts, Mercedes.
Yes.
All right.
And then she relinquishes the New Japan belt eventually. Make no sense, but she'll do it.
Probably not losing that thing. Yeah. Or she's probably getting injured and have to forfeit both of them.
No, she's not going to do a New Japan strong show probably.
Yeah. Well, unless they just do it on AEW.
Or unless she's going to do a Tokyo Dome show or something and then defend that title.
Or she loses at Wembley, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ladder match for the vacant TNT title. Your entrants are Konosuke Takeshita.
It's Jack Perry. Let's move on.
Mark Briscoe, Jack Perry, Dante Martin, Leo Rush, and I think one more, because the graphics have all had 6 faces on them. So I think we're probably getting one more. But yeah, it's Jack Perry.
The 6 will be Brian Cage.
You think?
He's always in these ladder matches, the base for the jumping guys.
But Takeshita could be that too.
Okay, that's true.
I think they could probably use a New Japan guy in here, and there's a lot of them around. So, but who knows? We'll probably know. They probably already taped it. So, Tony Storm and Mina Shirakawa for the AEW Women's Championship. That's gonna be Tony, right?
Tony.
Yeah. Bryan Danielson and Shingo in an Owen Hart Cup tournament match. That's gotta be Danielson.
Correct.
Right. Zack Sabre Jr. and Orange Cassidy. Who cares? Probably Zach.
Yeah.
I have no idea, though. No, probably Orange. I don't know. Or, you know what? Orange was saying...
They're going to give the win to Zach. You can beat Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, and he made a point of saying that Zach's been trying to beat him for 10 years and hasn't been able to. That sounds ridiculous, but it's probably true. So yeah, sounds about right for Zach to win. And I think Zach is going to be facing Naito at Tokyo Dome. That's the scuttlebutt. That's what third plug for Jeremy Finestone tonight. I think that's what he's been saying on Speaking of Strong Style. So which you can see every Thursday afternoon on this very network. Don't ask me what time. I think 5:30 Eastern, if I'm right. So hopefully that was a nice plug for you, Jeremy. MJF versus a random cartoon character who doesn't dress very well or whatever, however you put it, Hechicero. This isn't complete because it's MJF, right? It's got
to
be MJF.
I want Hechicero to win this so bad, and I love that dude. That dude is more fascinating to me. There's this weird part of my head that goes, maybe he shoots and just pins MJF. And then everything goes, oh, I would love that. MJF. MJF
puts him in a money clip or something.
Yeah.
And then I think we got the Chris Jericho against Minoru Suzuki. Jericho's going to win that. He's not losing that FTW title. Although I'd love to see Minoru with that belt, but I don't think it's happening.
No.
And then we got that match. Let me pull this up again. Do you remember what it was? Willow and Chris.
Tam Nakano and
Tam Nakano against Chris Statlander and Momo.
Momo Watanabe. Yeah.
I assume those two are from Stardom.
Yes.
I don't know. They're not Marigold, I would imagine. And then we're probably, I'll bet you anything, we're going to get like Owen matches on the pre-show because they usually put four, and I think this is the only one announced. So we'll probably get a few more. Stay tuned. Follow Tony Khan.
No, we'll get some like six. We'll get like Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, and Gabe Kidd versus, Shane Haste, Robbie Eagles, and Jeff Cobb or something like that.
Well, if Jeff Cobb is there, you'd think he would have been on the show. But yeah, you're probably right.
Actually, you know what? Mikey Nichols. It'll be Mikey Nichols, Shane Haste, and Gabe Kidd versus the kid. And then versus, some weird best friends amalgam adjacent thing with Tomohiro Ishii.
Maybe. Yeah, because I mean, all these guys.
Rocky Romero, Ishii, and. Action.
What if Rocky Romero is the wild card?
No.
You know what's funny about... Okay, can we go back to this wild card thing and how the Elite are picking the wild card? When's the last time we saw Jeff Jarrett on TV besides that promo? Do you remember? It was when Sanjay Dutt and Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal and Sotnam were accepting money from the Elite
to go up. Yes.
Brian Danielson.
Yes.
And now Jeff Jarrett is in the tournament and the Elite are putting up a wild card against him.
Maybe Jeff Jarrett is the wild card.
He's wrestling himself.
Yes.
Maybe it's Satnam Singh.
I had thought about that for a moment.
He's been getting a ton of squash.
And then he could get the rematch against Brian Danielson.
Oh my God.
This is the Satnam push we've all been waiting for.
You know what? If it's Satnam Singh, I was going to say I'd buy the pay-per-view, but it's probably going to be after the pay-per-view. I think what's going to happen is that match, Jason, I think, put in there somewhere that the match is next week. So Jeff Jarrett against the wild card is on Beach Break or whatever the hell they're calling that show next week. And so I would assume the winner faces Jay White on Collision. And that makes sense, too, because Jay White's the Collision Cowboy. And then they have the finals on the following week's Dynamite in Calgary. So that makes sense.
Yeah, but if you're going to fight, I mean, I don't see Hangman going to Collision, but okay.
Well, he's going to have to.
I guess so.
And stars. It's in Memphis, the big show. They're advertising MJF on that show.
Wouldn't you then they could make a Shark Boy, and then Jarrett beats Shark Boy, and then goes to Memphis to fight Jay White and loses.
Well, or as Garrett put it, Gilbert.
Yes.
Shark Boy. Hey, it's Shark Week, isn't it?
Yes, that's why I said that.
You remember last year? I think it was last year. Did you hear about this? They flew in Shark Boy and they were going to put him on the show and then they didn't.
Yeah.
So they actually paid for Shark Boy to be there, and they didn't put him on the show. All right. So that is okay. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how hyped are you for Forbidden Door?
2.
Yeah, I was going to say 3. So you're more hyped than, or I'm more hyped than you, believe it or not.
I mean, the matches I want to see are Mercedes and Stephanie Vaquer in the ladder match. That's it.
I'm interested in the result of Will Ospreay and Swerve. I know it's going to be a good match, but I really don't care to see it. Danielson and Shingo, I mean, it sounds fun, but I'm just not terribly feeling it. I think that
you know why I'm not in why I'm not into the Will Ospreay match, because you know it's going to be that he could have hit the Tiger Driver and he didn't.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably the finish. And then what's going to happen is he's going to hit it at some point to win the world title or to turn heel.
Yes.
Where was Don Callis tonight, by the way?
With anyway, Trent getting a new black suit.
Hey, he's got to be on this show too, doesn't he? Maybe he's a wild card. Please, no. He's probably already lost in the tournament. I forgot about it. you know, I don't. There's too many tournaments going on right now. Okay, let's wrap this up. We almost hit our time here, and I got baseball to watch. So I'm like,
I'm gonna go watch paint dry. That'll be as much fun as watching baseball.
Like MJF, I got better things to do than wrestle this jobber on Sunday.
Right.
All right. What do you got this weekend?
Oh, my plugs. Oh, you follow me at CrackApe13. I do a show on Voices of Wrestling called Shake Them Ropes with Chris Novembrino this week. We'll be previewing Forbidden Door. I'm sure Chris could care less. I have no idea what his Vader Club match is because he hasn't told me yet. I don't know what's going on. We're going to try and do a show. It'll hopefully be out Friday or Saturday on all your podcatching things. I'll do an hour or so, and we'll go through all the news, including, I had headlines and I'm writing down, and I've forgotten them right now. This is a hell of a plug. This is better than your Finestone plug, though. So, yeah.
My Finestone plug was good. Jeremy, I just... so I actually do have stuff to plug. I as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be on the Brian and Vinny show, filling in for Vincent Verhey tomorrow night on the F4W network. So you can check that out. I think we're on the YouTube channel at 11 Eastern. Is it midnight Eastern? Yeah, midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, 10, 11 my time. Alpha Omega says best of luck to Emily. So yeah, thank you as well. And then I think I'm on Saturday on Wrestling Observer Radio with Brian and Dave covering UFC. It's either going to be me or Ryan, but I'm pretty sure it's me. Yeah, you can tune in for that as well. You can hear myself or Ryan Frederick. Either one will be good. So for Jeff, I've been Paul, and this has been The Dynamite Show. Forbidden Door!
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th, with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.